All right, grab out your Bible and something to take some notes with. You guys know the drill. Some of you can say this better than I can, that we take notes here at Victory, and that some of you have told it to me in the week that you have it word for word. So forget you guys. I'm going to start trying to change up the way I say it. So we love to take notes here at Victory. And we love to have our Bibles with us, and we love to jot some things down that the Lord shows us as we do, as we take this spiritual journey. God will show some things. It's important. You are four times more likely to remember things if you write them down. And so an opportunity for you, I don't care how good your memory is, you will probably forget by Tuesday. Most of you forget by about 1 o'clock this afternoon. You'll be like, that was really good. I don't remember what it was, but it was really good. But as God shows you things, it's important to write those things down in your own devotion time. I would encourage you, write some things down, because God may show you something and it may not be what you need, but 4 or 5 years later, you go back and look and it will be exactly what you need in that season. So God will show you different things as you walk through. It's important to jot those down. But also, I wanted to say this morning, happy Father's Day as well. I want to take a moment and just honor the fathers and the men in the house. But as we do, and I'll tell you a little bit more about this as we go today, but I also think it's important to be cognizant as a church body that today means different things for different people. And so for some of you, as we say happy Father's, some of you, it's bittersweet. Some of you maybe who have lost a father. Or it maybe recently your father has passed away and you feel the bittersweet moment of the day where it's the idea and the beautiful memories and the love that you shared, but it's a little bit sad today. And so I want you to know we grieve with you. We pray for you. We stand with you. For those of you maybe who have endured the absence of a father, or they weren't even around, it wasn't that they had passed, but they were just absent in your life, or maybe the abusiveness of a father. Today means different things for different people. I want you to know that your church loves you and stands around you, but more than that, your Heavenly Father loves you more than you could possibly imagine. And then I want to also honor those of you maybe who are filling the role of a father, teachers and grandparents and mothers who have stepped into the gap to fill that role. We honor you today as well. Because this life we call is very complicated. This thing that we're walking through, that's not always cut and dry. But I just want to tell you that we honor you. And today we celebrate all that it means. That we are raising the next generation. That we are standing as examples. And so I just want to honor those. But I also want to make us cognizant of the fact that we can respond in love to everyone around us. That we can be the church and the hands and feet of Christ to everyone in this spiritual journey that we're taking. Amen, everybody? So as you grow, wrap out your Bible. Something to take some notes. Today I do have a message for the men of the house. I do have a message for all of us. But honestly, everything that we study here at the church comes from God's word. And so a lot of the principles, most of them, honestly, I think are for all of us, men and women alike, in living this Christian walk. But today I do want to honor and speak to the men of the house, because I think that there is an all-out attack. And I can talk this way about different sections of our church, different sections of our leadership, different sections of your walk as a Christian. But I do believe there is an attack specifically on men. That culture has attacked our role. That culture has attacked our identity in Christ. There is an all-out war that is against you. And so I just want to talk to you today, because the reason there is an attack is the devil knows the potential inside of each and every one of you. The devil knows exactly where this thing could be headed, that God would raise each one of you up in your generation, a chance to make a difference for the kingdom. And so it is an all-out war that culture is set against you. And so I want to talk a little bit about what God has called us to, the potential in your life. And I want to do it based on the story of a guy in Scripture who, honestly, his story should not have turned out the way that it did. And so if we're going to talk about this guy and see what a godly man actually looks like, I want you to come at it from the outset of the story should not have gone the way it did, that God had to be in every single moment of it. And he's calling this guy in these moments. So God is in the midst of it, but he's still expecting something from this guy. And so we're going to take a look at what it means to be a godly man. What is a godly man actually look like? And like I said, before you check out on me, ladies, these are principles I feel like most of these go for every single person. Every single person who God has called to make a difference. But today, I just want to kind of look at this guy. His name is Joseph. He's a very, very famous story in the Old Testament. But we're going to look a little bit different at a portion of his life instead of just kind of glossing over it or passing over this thing. Because like I said, you could turn in Genesis to Genesis 39 if you'd like to. This is a popular character in story, one of my favorites. But Joe comes from a very large family. So he's got 10 brothers, all of them older. And so Joe is the youngest of his family, and he is a spoiled brat. Come on, somebody. That's just usually how it goes. That just seems to be. Anybody like a big family, and you are not the youngest, and so you understand the youngest is the spoiled brat. If you are from a big family, and you are the youngest, and you're like, what is he talking about? Somebody explain it to me, all right? Somebody will let you know exactly what that means. Call your siblings. They'll let you know exactly what that means. So Joseph is the spoiled brat of the family, and as he gets older, his father does him no favors. Like, he already, like, plays him as the favorite. And then he starts using Joseph to run reconnaissance on his brothers. Because Joseph is also a tattletale. Come on, he has all the great attributes of a younger sibling. Joseph, you know, anybody who has siblings, you know what I'm talking about. Joseph loves to run and tell. And so his father leans into that and has Joseph telling him all the wrong things that his brothers are doing. And so they hate him even more. Like, they hate Joseph with a passion. And then, if that's not, like, worse, because come on, snitches get stitches. That's how it works in the real world. And so his brothers hate him. Like, they hate him. And then his father kind of gets a little bit and rebukes him at one point. We'll talk about that. And so everybody kind of gets sideways with him. So they have it out for him. And Joseph doesn't have a lot of wisdom at this time in his life. And so he has a dream God gives him of leadership. And he runs to tell his brothers, thinking they'll be happy. Joseph just has no brains at all. He thinks they'll be happy for him. He runs to his brother. He's like, yeah, one day I'm going to be in charge of you. And it goes how you think it would go. Like, they hate him even more. And then he has another dream and he tells his father and his brothers, yeah, one day I'm going to be in charge of all of this. You guys are going to bow down to me. And so they all get sideways with him. Like, there is a hatred burning for Joseph. His father rebukes him. Like, this moment in time. And so one day he goes to visit his brothers. Really, he's going to check to see if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, to tattletale on them. And so as they're at work, Joseph's coming to visit them, and they see him coming. They hate this guy. And so finally they're like, okay, we need to do something. Let's just straight kill him. Like, they see him coming and they're like, this is it. Let's just kill him and be done with this once and for all. And one of the brothers is like, guys, we can't kill our brother, right? Like, we can't. He tries to talk him down. They're in this, like, furor. And so they decide, he's like, let's just figure out what to do. We can't kill him though, but let's figure something out. And so they throw him in a pit next to where they are. And they all sit down and start eating chicken wings. And so I got Buffalo Wild Wings on my mind because that's what we're eating tonight for Father's Day dinner. So bear with me a little bit. So they're eating and they're like letting emotions kind of cool. And they're trying to decide what to do with Joseph. And they're eating those wings and they're just trying to decide. And wouldn't you know it, a caravan comes passing by of slave traders. And they're like, we can't kill him, but let's sell him. Let's sell him into slavery. Same difference, right? We just won't kill him, but we can sell him. And so for about the equivalent of $250, they sell their brother into slavery. And they wash their hands of him and they go about their business. $250. Now, we usually come down hard on the brothers for this, that they would do this. But anybody who has siblings, if you have ever been in an argument with your sibling in the heat of the moment, if somebody were to pass by and say, $250, I'll make them disappear. How many know you guys would be writing that check by, like, the end of the day? Like, let's not all be all wishy-washy Christians. I know exactly how honest everybody is. If you ever, this is just a side note, if you've ever witnessed other siblings, like, you ever argued with your siblings and you're like, that's fine. But you ever see other siblings fight and you're like, that's terrible, the way they treat each other, the way they say. And then, like, the next day you're around your own and you guys are like just crazy going, nah, that's just, that'll help somebody, all right? That's just give some perspective. So here's Joseph. He's like 17, 18 years old at this point. He's had a dream from God. He's been betrayed by his family. He's been sold into slavery. God has given him a dream of leadership. He believes God has placed in his life, and now he's betrayed. Now he's given up by the people that are closest around him. The people, honestly, I think Joseph still thought they loved him. And in this moment, he's betrayed, thrown in a pit, sold into slavery, rejected by his father, and he's feeling a lot of issues that we as modern day men have to navigate. And honestly, as I read the story, it really is an opportunity at this moment for Joseph not to just be mad with his family. This is an opportunity for Joseph to get sideways with God. Like this moment right here. This is a chance for Joseph to get, because I don't know how your life looks, but instead of getting mad at God in this moment, when he very well, this is when he should. Instead of getting mad, instead he stays the course, he stays faithful. He ends up impacting not just his family, not just his own life, but generations after him, and honestly, the entire world. This is Joseph in God's plan, rescuing the nation of Israel. This is how the nation, at its very beginnings, the sons, this is rescued, is because Joseph stays the course. And I want to encourage you today, as we pull principles from Joseph's life, I believe all of us as Christians, but especially as men and fathers, if we can really embrace these principles, this is what God has called us to live out to find his plan for our lives. Even though the path oftentimes, it will not look how we thought it should. It will not look the way we planned for it to. So Genesis 39, this is where we pick up the story. Right after he's been sold to the Ishmaelites and they're headed into Egypt. Now Joseph's been taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an Egyptian, who's one of Pharaoh's officials, he's high up, the captain of the guard, he buys him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. And so this is Joseph's new master. So he's bought. He's brought to his house. And so the Lord, watch this, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And I love the first principle, this first group of scriptures, because for many of us as men, when life takes a turn, especially if it takes a turn like this, I don't know how many of you have been bought and sold by the Ishmaelites to a master in Egypt. I don't understand that. But if you have had anything in your life where things have turned like this, this idea, if it turned for the worse, if the Bible was telling our story, let's just be honest, if the Bible was telling my story, it would say, and Ben entered the house of his Egyptian master, and he pouted, and he whined, and he complained, and he blamed God and his family, and he died a few days later. Come on, somebody. This would be, that, I don't know how far you would make it, but that's my story. But Joseph didn't. Joseph, the Bible tells us he prospered. Why? Because number one, a godly man, if you're taking notes, jot this down, a godly man persists. A godly man in every situation, in every adversity, a godly man knows that when adversity strikes, it's not an opportunity to quit, it's an opportunity to grow. And so Joseph enters this moment of his life and things get so much worse, but for right now, they're pretty bad. Come on, somebody. And he prospers. And the Lord is with Joseph. If Joseph, it would have been easy to get frustrated with God. And a principle I've learned, when faced with adversity, we can choose to get bitter or to get better. It's a choice you get to make. When faced with adversity, it's a choice to either quit or to grow. And God has called us to grow. And so Joseph, the Lord is with him. And the reality is every opportunity we have brings these choices to us. And so Joseph stays close to God. Joseph stays close to the one who has brought him so far. Joseph stays close to the one that he has served since he was a young man. And so now he's like 20 years old. He's living in slavery in Potiphar's house. And it says that the Lord was with him. And Joseph prospered. The reality is every challenge you face will be an opportunity for you to quit or for you to grow. And the sooner we internalize that, the better off we'll be. But I think the risk we run, or honestly, I think the problem that we run into is our culture has convinced us that you are either successful or unsuccessful because of the circumstances around you. That the only reason that you would thrive in business or if you want to thrive in the world, then you need to come from the right family or be in the right country or have the right job or have the right boss or the right opportunities or have the right connections or sell to the right people or the right idea. That all of these things. And one of the reasons we have so much trouble is we buy into the concept. And so we start changing all of the wrong things in life. And we will waste all of our effort trying to change everything external when usually the problem is something on the inside. Usually the problems that we face are internal because our life is not determined by our circumstances. It's determined by how we react to our circumstances. Because what's important is not what's happening around us or even what's happening to us. What's important is what is God is doing inside of us. And so we measure success very differently when we're following Christ than when we're following the world. But we still buy into the lie that our circumstances will determine everything about us. Because Joseph understood this. He understood my success is not determined by what's happening to me, but what God is doing inside of me. My success is not determined by the people around me or what they decide to think of me, but my success is determined by the one who created me and what he's doing inside of me. That God has a plan for our life. Watch what Paul said, Romans chapter 5. Paul said it this way, we also brag when we are suffering. Like this is insane to me. We brag when we are suffering. We glory in our weaknesses. We brag when we are going through things. Now you ever meet a weak man? A weaker man will brag when he is on top of the world. You understand this? Like when he is thriving, he will brag about everything. But you talk to a real man of strength, someone who has actually accomplished these things and God has brought them. They won't talk about all the millions that they made or the contracts that they signed or the business deals that they did. They're going to tell you about the time that they went bankrupt, the time that they were hurting and suffering and what God did in their lives and brought them through that season. You talk to anybody who has walked through that, that is what they will glory in, what God has done in their life in their weakest moments. What God has done in their lives. Paul said, we brag when we're suffering because we know. We don't just think, we don't just give lip service to, we don't just put on our bumper stickers or our fridges. We know that suffering creates endurance. And endurance creates character. And then character creates this word confidence. One translation says our hope. And I love that word because that's the reality is when you walk through horrible things in life, you're able to walk with a confidence in who your God is and what he has done in a way that you never would have if all your life had been daisies and roses. Because you're able to stand in a confidence in your life that you cannot acquire in the good times. Joseph is in this situation. He could easily be the victim here. He's in a foreign land. He does not speak the language. He is a slave in Potiphar's house. He is the lowest of the low, betrayed by his family. Would have been a great chance to give up. But instead of giving up, he allows his endurance to grow. A godly man persists. His character is developed. I remember in a season of transition and honestly confusion and kind of hardship in my life. I remember I was watching a sermon podcast. And the preacher got up that day. He was an older man. He got up and he said, "Brothers and sisters, God is far more concerned with your character than he is with your comfort." And I think sometimes we can't come to grips with the idea that God would want us to be uncomfortable. But God will oftentimes allow us to be very, very uncomfortable so our character can grow. So there's a chance to grow. And that's the story of Joseph's life, a story of persistence. Verse 3, the Bible says, when his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything that he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Now, there's a whole bunch of information in just these two verses. I'll unpack it for just a moment, then we'll move forward. Because I think it'll give you a couple of great lessons here. I think that are just, the Bible's just speaking practical lessons here. It gives us details about these guys' lives. And I think it's just practicality. The first thing is, yes, Joseph is chosen and anointed by God. He has a dream of leadership. He grows up. He has this dream of what God is going to do in his life. God has spoken to him very clearly, given him this vision of what it's going to be. But listen to me, your boss and the people around you in the world, they do not see any of that. They do not care what God has whispered to you in your quiet moments. I'm just going to step on your toes today, all right? They don't care what God is speaking to you in your prayer closet. They don't even care most times what betrayal or things you have walked through. All they care about is what you are producing. Just practical for you guys, all right, today, just a little bit. All they care about, Joseph's master does not care about what God spoke to him when he was a little boy. All he can do is see what God is doing in his life right now, what he is doing. They don't care what God is said to you in the years past or the betrayals you've experienced. What they care is what you're producing. And so Joseph understands this principle. Potiphar doesn't bless Joseph and put him in a place of authority just because Joseph had a potential or a promise from God. No, he puts him in a place because what everything Joseph did, everything that the dream in your life, it will come to pass. If God has given you a dream, it will come to pass in your life. There will be a moment where the doors open and God brings it to fruition. But until that moment comes, there's this season in this thing that honestly is kind of like a four-letter word in today's society called work. Come on, somebody. That there is a season where we have to persist and stay endurance in the fire. Joseph found favor because of everything the Bible says that he did. The things that he did. So he works hard and he gets an opportunity. But the opportunity is not what you would expect. Because I think sometimes we mash this sentence together with the one that comes right after it. No, first he becomes his attendant. I did a little study on this word. That means he becomes his personal servant. So he went in charge of nothing at first. And then he works really hard, finds favor in Potiphar's idea. And Potiphar gives him an opportunity. But it's not the opportunity to be in charge of all of Egypt. The opportunity is to be a servant. To serve him. And I don't have this up on the television. But I'm just here to tell you today, you can never be a great leader unless you learn to be a servant. You'll never be a great leader in the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus said, you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, be the servant of all. Begin to serve others. That's a great message for all of us in our careers, men and women alike. If you want to be a leader of people, learn how to serve people. And I know it's backwards to what the world would teach you. Every other leadership book would try to teach you, but you learn to serve. The kingdom of heaven's principles are completely contrary to what the world thinks you should be doing. You got to serve others. That you lay your life down for others. And so you say, I got this great plan from God. I've got this great idea and vision of being in leadership. That's great, but you got to learn how to work for somebody else and serve someone else. And so Joseph works hard. He finds favor. He got a servant's position. And because he does this well, watch this, Potiphar then puts him in charge of his entire household and entrusts to him in care everything that he owned. And so in Potiphar's house, Potiphar, all he had to worry about was what to eat and where to sleep. And Joseph took care of the rest. Puts him in charge of everything. Godly man persists in every situation. All right, second key, jot it down if you're taking notes. A godly man not only persists, he also resists. Because as soon as you start finding some momentum in life, all of a sudden the devil will come and try to knock you off the course God has for you. And the same thing is true for Joseph. The devil will try to keep us as men focused on every other thing except the call that God has on our life. Now, for those of you who know the story, we're going to change things up a little bit. Because I realized this morning that Father's Day, a lot of our kids' own kids stay in to sit next to dad during Father's Day. And so I went looking for the kids reader edition of this part of the story. Because those of you who know the temptation is about to come to Joseph. If you've ever read the kids reader's edition. I didn't even like that one. So we wrote our own. Come on, somebody. And so for you Bible textualists, this is not a translation. This is a paraphrase. But I'm not going to get nasty letters. So come on. It's going to be a good thing. So here we go. Back to our story. Now, Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come bake cookies with me. Come on, somebody. Where is that in the Bible? Some of you are flipping through here trying to figure out. Temptation. Some of you are like, yeah, cookies are a temptation. That is like a thing. But watch this. She said, come bake cookies. But he, watch this. What's this word? He refused. Joseph refused. Joseph saw it. Check this out. She spoke to Joseph. Watch this in the next. She spoke to him day after day after day. This isn't a one-time temptation. And he refused, and watch this, he didn't even refuse, he refused to be with her, to even be around her. He refused, now it is staggering, the statistics of the amount of marriages both in the church and out of the church that will experience this type of betrayal. It is staggering, it's the culture that we live in. In fact, in America, they did a recent poll, 74% of men, 78% of women said that they would bake the cookies. If they thought they could get away with it without being caught, that they would bake the cookies, they would go. Now that is a problem. And now listen to me, as godly men and women, we do not set out to see that happen. Let me just kind of, let's speak truth. We don't set out in our lives to see that happen. We want to stay focused on what God has called us to, but the reality is the devil will always place temptations in front of us and weaknesses in front of us. And it's important for us to understand what our weaknesses are because all of us have them. Like, I'm not like preaching to you today. I'm going to stand up here and point my finger. Every single person has temptation. It may not be the cookies. It may be something else in your life. I don't know what it is that you are tempted by or what it is that is a stumbling block in your life. Everybody has a weakness. And if we declare we don't, then we are probably at our weakest moment. And so the devil comes and tries to knock Joseph off his course. But all of us have to understand. And here's just a principle we've learned. I want to give you off of this. Now, it's bad English, but it is right out of the text. Come on, somebody. Because day after day, he refused to even be with her. It's important because who you be with will lead to who you become. It's just a fact of life. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Who you be with will lead to who you become. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, everybody. Because don't set yourself up for disaster. If I could just speak to you, we'll just speak honestly today. If you understand exactly where this story is headed, don't set yourself up for disaster. Joseph won't even be in the same room. And he day after day refuses and refuses. Don't set yourself. Don't get around the wrong people. Because the devil knows how to get those temptations in front of your life. Proverbs 11, it says, the integrity of the upright guides them. But it's the duplicity of the deceitful, the unfaithful that are destroyed. The integrity of that integrity means full or complete or whole. Now, the problem is most of us as men, we are not complete or full or whole. Most men have been wounded at some point in their life. Most men don't escape childhood without some kind of wound, some kind of thing that they're walking with in their life. And it could be for you, that wound could be relationally. This guy, Joseph, rejected by his family, his father rebukes him. He could have walked away honestly scarred. And some of you have experienced wounds in your childhood that you have carried with us. People that rejected you or people maybe that made fun of you or abused you. People that did not let you escape childhood without some kind of wound. And so what happens is you make it into adulthood, especially as men, we're lacking some things. And so we need those things. We need someone to love us. We need someone to honor us. We need someone to prop us up or to gather around us. We need those things to make us feel successful or honored. We need people. And so if we don't process those in a healthy environment, we will go looking for them in all of the other rooms. We will allow ourselves to be around others that want to trip us up. Every human on the planet is tempted in some area. Now, for guys, we call this the girls, the gold, and the glory, that you are tempted either by the relationships or by the stuff or by the pride. But every person has something. that they're weak in. Unless we point fingers, before we start casting our eyes, trying to find, well, somebody else is tempted by this or somebody else fell in this area. Let's look internally. What is your weakest point? Because all of us have them. And we got to be aware of where those weaknesses lie. And then we got to get some people around us. As men, some godly men and friends that we can talk through and process these things, especially importantly with our spouse, that we can process in a healthy environment some of the things that we are walking through. That we will understand all of us have problems that we face, temptations, and have honest conversation. Joseph probably had a need for somebody to love him. And so the devil knew that and brings this temptation in his life. This person who's going to flatter him. This person who's going to be honoring, constantly flattering and honoring. And Joseph knew that's a dangerous relationship. I'm going to keep her away. And I want you to know, for some of us, we have to watch that. For some of you, it could be relationships. Maybe somebody from your past or somebody you worked with early in your career trying to get you to go back to a lifestyle that you left. For some of you, it's not a relational thing. For some of you, it's just a pride issue. Or it's the possessions. What you feel like you need to have in order to be successful, and it's what trips you up. We got to be aware of the things that we try to impact. And so as men, we don't need to just be persistent. We also need to be resistant to the temptations. Well, Joseph resists the temptation. He's actually really good at it. He keeps doing it over and over, continuing to resist until one day Potiphar's wife, like, enough of this. And so she's like, I'm not dealing with this anymore. Steals his jacket and blames him and says he attacked her. And of course, the boss, Potiphar, believes his wife over Joseph. And so Joseph is not just fired, like he's not just like cast out. Joseph is actually put in prison. He stands for integrity. I want you to see this. He stands for what is right. He resists in every situation. He persists. He is a man of integrity. He does what's right, and it looks like he gets punished for it. Because Potiphar throws him into prison, and Joseph's life takes another unexpected turn. Like, here's the guy who's supposed to be serving people, supposed to be in leadership, betrayed by his family, thrown in the pit, sold into slavery in Potiphar's house, and now he's thrown into prison. And he finds himself there. And honestly, this is where, I don't care how far you've made it in the story, even the best one among you, this is where you get sideways with God. This is where you start questioning things. But it's not what he did. The Bible says he stays close to the Lord. And again in prison, he rises to the top and goes to a place of prominence. This guy is thriving in every environment, even when the odds are stacked against him. And so he's thrown into prison, but it's a special prison. This is where Potiphar, the captain of the guard, and Pharaoh, the king of the land, this is where they throw their prisoners that have interactions with them. And so these are guys who are hot shots at one point in their life, and now at the lowest point are thrown into the prison. This is who Joseph's in charge of. And so he comes across a couple of them that he's in charge of taking care of. The baker, right? We remember the baker and the cupbearer. And so Joseph is serving these guys. And so they made the boss mad. They're down on the luck. We jump forward to Genesis 40. It says, when Joseph came to them the next morning, the guys he's serving, he saw that they were dejected. I love that. He's aware of the people around him. I don't know if you know, like, if you're thrown into prison, I'm not aware of anybody else I'm caring about. Numero uno. Like, this is mine. But it says, Joseph saw. And so he asked them, Pharaoh's officials who were in custody, why do you look so sad today? Why do you look so sad? Joseph saw and he asked the question. Like, what's going on in your life? And I just want to take a time out because this is incredible to me. Because those of you, I don't know your personality. I don't know how you're wired. But those of you who maybe are wired to like accomplish things or like task-driven, oriented, like make some stuff happen. This is like a foreign concept to you. Joseph saw there were other humans in his life. And I think sometimes as men, this is something that I think goes right over our head. He understood that these are not just like pawns to be manipulated or steps to our goal. These are humans in our lives that we are called to serve, that we are called to care for. And this honestly is one of the hardest things for me. Because I don't know how you're wired up, but for me, I'm wired up to just try to accomplish things. Like, I just need to get some tasks done. I just put my head down. Let's get this thing done. And it's really strange to say this as a pastor. I'm working on it. Come on. This is not an excuse, but this is just who I am. It's hard to recognize the humanity of those around us. And sometimes where this bleeds into, it's hard to recognize the humanity of our families that we are called to serve and to love. And we see them as a means to an end instead of the ones God has called us to give our lives for. And so as men of God, we're not called just to persist or to resist. We're actually called to assist those in our life. Because we can get so focused on our own things. Not only does Joseph see, but then he saw that their temperament changed. And then he asked the question, like, what's wrong? Because it's one thing to see, like some of you understand this, like you see what's going on. But if you're a guy, you're probably thinking like, if I just ignore it, they'll figure it out on their own. Come on, somebody. Like you just, if I just don't approach it, if I just don't poke the bubble, then maybe they'll just figure out their own things. Come on, I'm the only honest person in church. Like we just think like, maybe it'll just wash over. Maybe it'll just be, I just won't have to do it. I'll just take a break and go fishing and maybe it'll just happen. But Joseph saw and Joseph asked the question, like, why are you downcast? Why are you rejected? They responded, we've had dreams and there's no one to interpret them. And so Joseph asks, what are the dreams? Does God not give interpretation? Tell me what they are. So here's this guy. I guarantee you he has a lot of problems on his own plate. Asking and caring, because a godly man is called to assist those around him. I think it's something we lose sometimes, oftentimes mostly as men, often remembering that God has called us to be a servant. God has called us to serve those around us. And many of us realize that we need to be a servant to those in authority over us. Like we understand that. That's the key to promotion. You gotta serve the gatekeepers in our lives. We understand that concept. You gotta serve the one who holds the door so he'll open the door so you can have the promotion to go to that. You gotta serve those above us. But watch, this is what's incredible about Joseph's story. He is serving people, fellow prisoners, those who have nothing to offer him. In fact, they are lower, if it's possible, than even Joseph on the totem pole, and he is serving. They have no future, and their life is over, and yet he is listening to them, responding to them, and helping them. Because jot this down if you're taking extra notes today. True character is revealed when helping someone who cannot help you. Because listen to me, the reality is, it is wise, it's smart, it's cunning, it's effective to serve those who are in authority over you. It's smart to serve the people who can open doors for you, but it is biblical to serve people who can do nothing for you. A godly man assists. Not the people who hold the doors, not the people who hold the ladders, not the people that help promote us or our agenda or our promotions. People who can do nothing for us. It is biblical to serve those who can do nothing for us. These are prisoners, and yet Joseph cares. Got to be sensitive to those around us and their needs, the one God has called us to serve. Not with some ulterior motive that they would advance our agenda or they would advance our career, but that they have been promoted or they have been entrusted to us. The Bible says this in Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Instead of humility, consider yourself below others. Consider them better than you. Serve them. Let's be men of humility that notice the people. So Joseph notices these guys' dreams and he prays and the Lord gives him the interpretation. You can read it in your Bible. He tells the cupbearer, he's like, Pharaoh's going to lift up your head. He's going to restore you to the palace. He's got these great things. He's like smiling at the cupbearer. Then he turns to the baker and he's like, Pharaoh's going to lift off your head. Come on, no palace for you. This is what's going to happen. And the dreams come true. Like he's restored and the cupbearer is restored to the palace. And he tells the cupbearer, he's like, when this happens, remember me. Remember me where I am. And so Joseph's a man after God's heart. He's persisting. He's resisting temptation. He's assisted the people in his life. And so, of course, as the story goes, the cupbearer is restored to the palace. He's given all his old trappings. He's given all his old place of prominence. And as soon as he gets there, of course, he forgets Joseph. Forgets all about him. Doesn't remember anything. And so here Joseph sits in jail, wrongfully incarcerated. Now the one ally he had in the world completely forgets about him until one day Pharaoh, the king of the land, has a dream of his own. And nobody is found to interpret it. And he's like, who can interpret this dream? This is like years later. And the cupbearer is like, oh yeah, I know a guy. We got to go get Joe. I think he can help us out with this. I hope he's still alive. I hope he's still rolling. He can hook us up. So they go and get Joseph. They bring him before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh tells him his dream. And it's amazing what Joseph's response is. Because he's completely different than I think any of our response would have been. If I have persisted in every environment, I have thrived because I've kept my heart close to God. I have resisted every temptation. And God has caused me to be in a place of thriving and endurance in these things. If I have assisted everybody in my life and I've found incredible success in every scenario God has placed me in, I promise you, I have a response to this moment. And it's way different than Joseph. Joseph's response, verse 16 of chapter 41, I cannot do it. Come on, somebody. I can't do it. Like this is the biggest moment of his life. And he has proven that he can interpret dreams. He has interpreted, I would think he would be at a place of like, bro, I have endured all of the tests. I have been betrayed, but I did not get bitter. I have been thrown in the pit, but God has caused me to thrive. I have been a slave in Potiphar's house. I rose to the top. I was in prison unrighteously. They have put me in this place, but now I'm in charge of the prison. I have interpreted dreams, and I have had my eyes on the prize and stayed focused. I am the man. You are lucky that you found me, Pharaoh. You are lucky that you brought me out here. This is my moment. And Joseph is like, I can't do it. I'd be like, I'm going to set you straight, Pharaoh. And cupbearer, where are you hiding? Because you forgot about me in the prison. Like, let's set some things straight now that we're out here in the light. He comes before Pharaoh. He's like, I cannot. I can't. But God. But God will give Pharaoh the answer that he desires. Even at the end of it all, I think it's important for us as men to remember all of the adversity as God helps us stay the course. As we walk through these things, as God helps us triumph in the worst situations, that it wasn't us. We need to remember, it wasn't our tenacity. It wasn't our giftings and our skills. It wasn't because of how great or how glorious or how gifted we are. In fact, sometimes I wonder, and this is a whole other message, but I wonder sometimes if God let the cupbearer forget Joseph, because Joseph was trying to do it on his own. Like, hey, remember me. But he's left there in the prison. He comes out because of the gifting that God put in his life. Because at the end of the day, it was all about God. Because the godly man not only persists. He doesn't just resist. He doesn't just like assist the people in his life. But at the end of it all, the godly man submits. And Joseph learned this. You see this in every scenario of his life. Joseph keeps his heart close to God and understands, I cannot do this on my own. I don't have the ability to pull this off on my own strength. He says, you know what? I can't do this, but I know the God who can, so let me pray. Let me pray and God will give. Let me hear the dream and I'll pray and God will give the interpretation. So he prays and the Lord gives the interpretation. He tells Pharaoh, there can be these years of plenty and then there's going to be years of famine. And here's what we need to do to get ready. Not only does he give the interpretation, he imparts some wisdom. And hey, here's what we need to do to get ready for it. And then watch this. Pharaoh looks at him and he says, since God has made all this known to you, and there's no one as discerning and wise as you, you'll be in charge of my palace and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. And let us watch this. Go back to Genesis 39. Only with respect. Basically, at any point in this, Joseph could have said, God has a dream in my life. God has a purpose for me to be in leadership. God has a thing. And this is Pharaoh now affirming. Joseph stayed close to the Lord. Joseph did what a godly man needs to do. And now Pharaoh is the one affirming. Because listen to me, at some point, God's plans will come to pass. Pharaoh's saying that dream that God put in Joseph's life, this is the moment. This is where it's coming to pass. Pharaoh doesn't know about that dream. Pharaoh doesn't care about that dream. Pharaoh cares about his own dream and what Joseph has done and what God has done through him. And he says at this moment now, he's stepping into what God has for his life. At this moment. Because a godly man submits. I want you to know, no matter what you're facing, there will come a day where God's plan will come to pass. There will be a moment that all of a sudden the door opens, but it doesn't happen if we don't stay true to the course God has set for us. One last verse, Galatians 6. I want to encourage you, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Listen, guys, I understand life is hard. Living in the world is hard. The world is against you. Our culture is set against you, trying to hinder you from being the man that God has called you to be. If it's not the endurance of it, then it's the temptation of it. If it's not the temptation of it, then it's the pride of it, getting our eyes only on ourselves. And even if you make it through the first three, oftentimes that pride, that same pride keeps us from giving the glory to God. Life is hard. Your life may not have turned out the way you thought it was supposed to. Your circumstances may have led down a path you never thought you were going to walk down. You may have given in at one point or another, got sideways with God, given in to the temptation, walked away because of pride. One of these things may have tripped you up. Life never looks the way we think it's supposed to. But a godly man persists. I promise you, if you have gotten off course, there is still hope for your life. God still has a plan for your life. Just because you've met with adversity doesn't mean that God's hand isn't on you. That God is with you in the midst of it. It doesn't mean that you can't stand in adversity, loving and serving those around you, staying the course, but always staying true with your heart next to the Lord, because a godly man submits.
Bow your heads with me as we pray today. I just want to pray that God would help each one of us, men and women alike, that whatever season you find yourself in, for some of you, you're in the pit and you're in the midst maybe of betrayal and you're experiencing the hurt that comes along with that, and you're walking through a season that you never thought you would have to walk through, and you're wondering where God is. And for others of you, maybe you feel like the world is against you. The odds are stacked. And maybe you're in the middle of standing for what is right, and it feels like the whole world is accusing you of doing what is wrong. I don't know what your life looks like today, but oftentimes all of these circumstances, they have a tendency of driving us away from God instead of to Him. I just want to tell you today that your place is found in the arms of the Father. That they're still open to you. That His love is still available to you. But if you've allowed these circumstances or these things in life to drive you from Him, if you're in that place today, chances are you realize how lonely it is, but more than that, how broken it is. And you feel alone. Probably frustrated and hurting. I want you to know God understands. That He knows where you are. And that this morning, He's not looking to judge you for where you found yourself. He's not looking to punish you for how far you've run. He's looking to set you free. There is forgiveness. In fact, I want you to know that He loves you more than you could possibly imagine. That there is still hope for your life. No matter how broken you think you are, no matter how far you think you've pushed, no matter what secret sin you think you have hidden away that you feel like has destroyed you, there is still hope for your life. That our God is a God of healing, that He loves you more than you could possibly imagine, and He still has a plan for you. But the only way for it to come to pass is to do that thing that we talked about at the end, and that's to submit. Submit to His plan, submit to His purpose. And every head bowed today, maybe you're far from God. I just want to pray with you that we would submit control of our lives to the person of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, church, it is never too late. God has a great plan for your life. If that's you today, let's just pray. I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I'll come to the front. I'm not looking to embarrass you, but right now you can make a choice. Come on, church, let's pray with those. I can give you the words, but you have to pray them. You have to submit in your own heart. Let's pray together. Say, Jesus, forgive me of all of my sin, of all my mistakes. I believe You died on the cross. I believe You rose again. I make You the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray for every single person in our church, Lord, that adversity comes to us all. But for those that are feeling betrayed, God, and forgotten, maybe for those that have fallen into temptation, Lord, or those who are experiencing all kinds of setbacks in their life, those who are walking through these things, Lord, we thank You today that You are greater than our circumstances, that You are greater than anything that we would face in this life, that You have overcome this world that we are walking through, and that our success in life is not determined by what's happening to us. It's determined by what You are doing inside of us. And so I pray right now, God, that You would set free the captive. Lord, that You would bind up the brokenhearted. You would bring healing to those who feel betrayed, those who are carrying a wound from childhood. Father, that You can bring a healing that nothing else can. Lord, that Your hand is still on the life for those who feel too far gone or too far forgotten. I pray, Lord, they would understand Your plan is still in effect for their lives, that Your hand is still on them, that You still have a purpose for them. And I thank You, Lord, for each one of us, that You have called us to make a difference in those around us, that You walk with us every step of the way. We thank You and we love You. We pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's church said amen and amen. Come on, church, can we give Him praise for what He's done to us?